Tell me who hath believed our report, and to whom is it revealed, the mighty arm of the Lord.
Hello, I'm Kathy Davidson. I'd like you to join me and the ministers of music from Water of Life Church here in Plano, Texas, as we minister the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Have you ever considered that Bible that you are reading was not always available to us? For centuries, it was shut up to us, the common man. It was only available to the elite and the clergy. How did it get in your hands? And what happened when it did? A man by the name of Martin was 21 years old, and he was on his way to become a lawyer by the wishes of his father. He was just an ordinary character. Nothing about him made him stand out as strong or as of a defiant nature. He was walking home and ended up in a violent storm and very nearly got struck by lightning. He took it as a message from God and said, "If you will save me from this storm, I will become a monk." Well, God did save him from the storm, and he kept his promise. It had been said that Martin Luther shut himself up in his room and did nothing but study the Bible, especially the book of Romans. When he emerged, he had two ideals that were very contrary to the times: that the Word of God, the Bible, was paramount over any other authority, and that salvation did not come by works, but by grace. He suffered a great deal of persecution for those ideals. He was brought before the Holy Roman Empire, banished, and excommunicated. For 10 months, he was shut up in a castle where he did something that is considered nothing but rebellion against the empire. He translated the entire Bible into German. Now, for the first time, the common man can read the Word of God. These ideas, that the authority is the Word of God, that justification is by faith, and that the Bible is for the common man, spread. History calls it the Protestant movement, but it was a move of God. Did you know that not many years later, in the peak of this revival, there were groups of people meeting together in all parts of Europe, reading the Bible and endeavoring to walk in its instruction? One day, one of those groups, longing for a place where they could live in the revelation that they had attained from that Bible, boarded a ship and began a great migration to an unknown land where they would find freedom to worship as they saw fit. That ship was called the Mayflower. Many of us are the descendants of those peoples that came to this land in order to live according to the Word of God. We still have that freedom. And it all started with a young man, Martin Luther, frightened by a bolt of lightning in 1505, some 500 years ago. I'd like to introduce to you a song, "God Sacrificed the Lamb," written by Terry Mai, who is now in heaven, ministered here by the Sweet 16. They are all ministers of music. The song contains that plan of salvation that Martin Luther declared. Let God minister it to you.
Blood of Jesus.
asked a question like this: would God forgive this sin? Would God heal me? Would God get me a job? Would God deliver me from this addiction? Would God even hear me? There is an answer to those questions, and it's in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to begin by going to 2 Corinthians 1, and I'm going to start in verse 19. And this is Paul talking. He said, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." You want a translation for that? It says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, was not yes and no, but in him was yes." The next verse: "For all the promises of God in him are yea, yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us." Do you see that? All the promises of God are yes. You know, when I grew up as a young child, I heard preachers say God was either yes or no or wait. Do you know the Word of God does not say that? There is no place in the Word where it says God is a yes and no and a maybe God. No, this Word of God states all the promises of God in him are yes. Yes. So if you ask any of those questions according to the Word of God, which abideth forever, your answer is yes. So when you ask, would God forgive this sin? The answer by the Word of God is yes. Would God heal me? The answer in the Word of God is yes and amen. Would God get me a job? The answer is yes and amen. Would God deliver me from this addiction? Yes and amen. He will deliver you. In fact, if you believe it, he already has. And would God even hear me? Yes. Yes. His ears are open to your cry. Now, how can these things be? How can the answer always be yes and amen and not yes, no, and maybe? Then we'll find it. And it's in the Word. Let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 10. I'm going to begin in. And this is talking about Jehovah and Jesus, the Father. It states in verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." This is the Father. Listen to these words. "For yet it pleased the Father," it pleased the Lord, "to bruise him," Jesus. It made him happy. It made the Father happy to bruise Jesus. It goes on, "He has put him to grief." And the translation of that is, it made him sick. It pleased the Father to make him sick, to make Jesus sick on the cross. It pleased the Father. It made him happy to do that. Why would it make the Father happy to bruise Jesus, to make him sick? And the next part, to make his soul an offering for sin. Why would it make the Father happy? Because he was doing it for you and for me. Let's take a look at the next part of the verse. "Well, now shall make his soul," Jesus' soul, "an offering for sin." Jesus' soul, that part of you that has emotion, that has feeling, that's your soul. It states here that the Father said, "When thou shall make his soul," Jesus' soul, "an offering for sin." Jesus' soul was an offering for sin. I remember one time praying, and I was considering these verses, and the Father said, "Kathy, Jesus didn't carry your sins in a suitcase." In fact, if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:21, it states, "For he has made him to be sin for us." The Father hath made Jesus to be sin for us. Made him. This is a willful act of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to make Jesus sin for us. Jesus became sin. He became the murderer. He became the child molester. He became the thief. He became the liar. He became the adulterer. He took on all our sin and became it in his soul. Do you see what a wonderful, powerful thing this gospel is? Now let's go back up to verse 11 in Isaiah 53. And he shall see the travail of his soul. Now this is the act that the Father made Jesus sin. He made him sick. And now he sees the travail of the soul of Jesus. Why was Jesus' soul travailing? Because he had your and my sin in it, just as if he'd committed it. He was a murderer on the cross. He was a child molester. He was a drunken addict. He was a liar. He was an adulterer. He was everything that you and I possibly could be. He became it. And that soul suffered for it on the cross with every bone out of joint. Every bone out of joint. And it pleased the Father to do it. It pleased the Father. It made him happy that Jesus suffered this way. And you will see it in this verse, verse 11. He shall see the travail of Jesus' soul, and he, the Father, shall be satisfied. Satisfied. For centuries of sin, one man suffering satisfied the Father. For ages of sickness and disease and poverty, one man carrying all of it. In travail, the Father was satisfied with that sacrifice. He was satisfied that he had made Jesus sick. He was satisfied that he had made Jesus sin. He was satisfied that he had made Jesus poor in poverty for us. He was satisfied that Jesus took on all demons and spirits and hindrances in our lives. Took them all on. And the Father was satisfied with that one sacrifice. You know, when I have a good meal and I am finished, I am satisfied. I don't need to eat anymore. Well, right here, that same word, that satisfied, the Father became when he saw the sacrifice of Jesus. He was satisfied. We don't have to do anything else. There is nothing more we can do. It is already been complete. That sacrifice, that man paid everything that needed to be paid. And the Father was satisfied. And it goes on, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant Jesus justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities in his own soul. Can you see the love of God here? Can you see what the Father did for you with one man for us? The next verse, verse 12, begins with a wonderful word, therefore. Therefore. And it's referring back to verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Therefore. Another way to put it is as a result of. As a result of that sacrifice. Will I divide him a portion with the great? And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors, for all of us sinners. Therefore, the Father said, as a result of that sacrifice, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. What is that? That, my friends, is the resurrection. The Father was so satisfied with that sacrifice, with Jesus going to hell for us. The Father was satisfied and Jesus was raised from the dead. Let's go back to the questions. Will God forgive this sin? Yes, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Will God heal me? Yes, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Will God get me a job? Yes, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Would God deliver me from this addiction that I am in bondage to? Yes, because of the death, burial, and resurrection. Would God even hear me? Yes, because of the death, burial, and resurrection. What does it mean to believe, to adhere to trust in that word? I've got an example. Years ago, on a Friday afternoon, it was the end of a business day, and we got a phone call. I picked it up. It was from our bank. It was our account manager. And she called me and she said, Kathy, the state comptroller just put a hold on your account. You know, they had done that once before and it was a mistake. And I didn't know what happened. And I knew they did it on purpose late on a Friday afternoon and there was no way that we could get a hold of them until Monday morning. Now, that's all well and good. It was okay. But the problem was there was no food in the house to feed my four children. No food. And what I was going to do was finish the work that day, go to the grocery store, buy food for the weekend, go home and cook it. But now I can't go to the grocery store and write a check because I hear there's a hold on our account. And I'm not going to write a check that's going to cause more trouble. See, we were in the sign business and our customers were mostly other businesses. And they very rarely dealt in cash. So mostly we had company checks and credit cards. So we didn't even have a cash box at this time. So I couldn't go write a check. I stopped and I went out into the parking lot away from everybody else. There was nobody around. And I looked up and I said this to the Father. I said, look, if I or my husband have sinned, tell us. We'll fast. But you are going to feed my children. And that's all I said. And I walked back into our business. Now, what was my trust in? Do you know that that gospel works even when you have to deal with sin? I didn't know if we had sinned, if we had messed up. I didn't know what happened. I had no way of knowing until Monday. But I knew that all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. So even if we had sinned, there was forgiveness, there was justification, and God would take care of my family. So my trust was in the gospel, what Jesus did for us on that tree, and not in anything else. There was nothing else to trust in. I went back into the business. I walked up to the counter, and just about that time, in walked a cowboy, a real cowboy, boots, hat, the whole bit. By the look of him, I knew he was from West Texas. And he came up to the counter, and he said he was in town for other business, but he needed some signs to put up on his ranch that he had some bulls he wanted to sell. So standing there at the counter, I showed him what signs would meet his purpose, and I showed him the different sizes, and I showed him the different ways we could do it. And he chose two of the larger signs. He chose a frame to go around it so he could stick it in the ground. I gave him the price, and I told him when they would be finished. And then I said, look, because they are custom signs, I'm going to need a deposit. Now, he looked at me. He said, well, would you accept cash? And I got a big smile on my face. I knew what was coming. I knew God had answered my prayer. And I said, yes, today we will take cash. And then he said to me, can I pay for all of it in advance? I got a bigger smile. I said, of course. And very slowly, he took out the bills that equaled $200 and he laid them on the counter. And he politely said, thank you. And he walked out the door. I knew God had sent that man to feed us. I knew that God knew that we needed some cash for the weekend, and he sent that man in. Do you know what a delight that is? Do you know how fun it is to see the power of God work for you? It'll work for you too. How do you believe? You hang on to those words. You hang on to that gospel. And you don't look at anything else. That's what you hang on to. That's what you talk. That's what you think about. You don't think about anything else. Especially you don't think about the circumstances. And you don't think about how you feel. And when you continue to do that, that is believing. And the truth that you're believing will abound through the lie that you're feeling. And it will come to pass. That word will manifest in front of you. That is believing. That is hanging on to. That is trusting. You do it until it works. God made it very simple for us to be born again. If you would open your Bible to Romans 10, beginning in verse 9, it states that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And saved means to be born again, to be set at safety. It really means everything you need. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And if we go to verse 13, for whosoever, that includes everybody, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and call on his name. Call on the name of Jesus and you shall be born again. You shall be saved. You have received Jesus. And then I encourage you to take your Bible, to read it out loud. Do you need to pray and you don't know what to pray? Read the Psalms out loud. They're prayers and God will hear them. And I'd like to finish this program with another song written and composed by Terry Mai. I Am the Messiah, ministered here by the Water of Life Boys.
That God shall never hunger.
you for joining me and the musicians from Water of Life Church. I would love to hear from you. You may reach me by email at Kathy, K-A-T-H-I-E, at KathyDavidsonWOL.com, or you may write me at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 86-1327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find me on the internet at www.KathyDavidsonWOL.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.